Energy electric, rhyming so hectic. Content of the song, you can probably fucking guess it. It's just me talking shit over a funky ass beat. Metaphors full of bullshit, hit you like a stampede.
Welcome to the lousy wrestling podcast. The shittiest wrestling podcast in America. Only on the Lousy Weather Media Network. Now, here's the show.
What's up? I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Chirp, chirp.
Chirp, chirp.
It's all about the Molly.
That's what this song, yeah. You do so much Molly that you're...
Chirp, chirp.
Can't hear a word you're saying. You do that every week. That's your thing.
You're too far from the microphone.
That's like your catchphrase, is that you're just... But anytime I turn music up, you just start talking. And then nobody can understand anything you said. What'd you say?
I said that's like fucking... I hate WWE video game because of that shit. I know a nigga blessed,
pray to God. Oh, man. Lousy Wrestling Podcast, episode, what, 32 today?
Yeah, 32.
We're here. We're in the building. It's Sean,
Derek,
Spike.
Spike over there. We're live. I'm barely awake today.
You're awake, don't lie.
I'm barely awake.
You're barely awake enough. Was when I got here.
I was watching SmackDown fighting
we
to stay awake.
We wouldn't be a lousy podcast if you were completely conscious.
Because we are America's Shittiest Wrestling Podcast, episode 32. Bah! So how are you guys doing today?
Wonderful.
Yeah. What about you, Spike?
I'm just glad to be out of my house, man.
Like, yeah. you've been going stir crazy.
Yeah,
like Wilder.
I go stir crazy every week, man.
Gene Wilder and Richard
all
Pryor.
All I do is sleep and I'd sleep all day, and I work all night.
Mm. It gets monotonous.
Yeah,
I only slept a couple hours last night, so I went back to bed about 3 to catch some more sleep, and then just woke up about 10.
Well, I have a coworker, and I've talked to you guys about him before, but I regularly want to punch this guy in the throat.
Yeah.
And it's even more so now because now we're doing the same job, so we're supposed to be directly working together, and he's lazy as fuck, and I actually got hurt at work from doing 2 people's job instead of just doing half of it.
Yeah.
That's why I was wearing that wrist brace and all that.
Mm-hmm. So, did you do any wrestling this past weekend, or you got matches coming up?
I did not wrestle this weekend.
Mm-hmm. You had to think about it.
I was about to say, you can definitely tell there's a few hits to the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like, did I wrestle? Did I?
No, you got anything coming up next month, this month, next month?
Give him a few
Yeah, I was about to say, look at his face when I said that. He's like,
I know that I got stuff coming up, but I can't always remember when it is. I think my next match is March 11th in Sebring. I don't know who I'm working. It's not advertised.
When I hear Sebring, I'm like, damn, that's going to be a fucking packed fucking venue, like 4-seater.
Yeah, 4-seater Chrysler.
Well, we usually draw like a decent amount of people, but it's...
I don't know. What's that guy's name? Fred Schneider from the B-52s? He could fit a lot of people in his Chrysler.
Seats about 20.
Yeah. Got me a Chrysler. Oh, that's funny. Bring your jukebox money. So it's Lousy Wrestling Podcast. We've had a pretty exciting week of wrestling, kind of.
Can you just say that one more time?
Like, it's a Lousy Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah, people don't know.
They didn't know what they tuned into.
In the first 5 minutes, you've said it like 20 times.
Did you know it's a Lousy Wrestling Podcast?
Did I know?
I didn't know if you knew or not.
Now.
Man, so did you guys see this shit about The Rock calling CM Punk after Monday Night Raw this week?
Yes, I was...
You haven't heard about this yet, Derek?
Rock. No,
Okay, well, Rock is filming...
Paige.
Yeah, this movie about Paige. Well,
he was backstage last week.
And they were using Monday Night Raw as a... They were recreating Paige's debut after the show. So they had a character dressed like AJ Lee, and they had, you know, their main character for their movie coming out to challenge for the Divas title type thing, a scene they were filming. Well, as it was starting, the crowd would not stop chanting CM Punk, like, ridiculously. They're just 15,000 strong yelling CM Punk at the top of their lungs, basically. And
The Rock's like, "God damn it, CM Punk, bring your ass here."
So The Rock gets in the ring and is like, "You guys want CM Punk? Let me FaceTime him." And tries to FaceTime him, and he's like, "The Wi-Fi sucks." And so then he calls him, and he's got him like on the phone. CM Punk doesn't answer, so he starts to leave him a voicemail like, "Hey, Punk, they're chanting for you here. They're chanting for you in the Staples Center. I got 15,000 strong. 15,000 strong, CM Punk. They're chanting your name." And he's like,
and
holds the phone
out. 15,000?
Nah, it's Staples Center. Probably more close to like 16 or 17.
Last time they
Staples
only
Center
had
packs
like 10,000.
Staples Center packs all the time. Yeah, that's like a WWE home arena. They used to have SummerSlam there.
Yeah.
So, that was before they started bidding it around for SummerSlam. Capacity at Staples Center for basketball games, 21,000. So you can fit quite a bit there. But anyway, he's saying CM Punk, blah, blah, blah. And he calls him on the phone, leaves him a voicemail, and it got the crowd to settle down. And then they could go back into filming and film the scene.
That's right. A shitty way, have to leave CM Punk a voicemail. He's like, really? A voicemail to get people calmed down, like, leave me the fuck alone.
CM Punk...
Actually, he was cool with it.
he tweeted out, CM Punk was like...
At least someone from the WWE calls me.
No, he said, sorry, I was walking my dog Larry, it's his birthday. And then he was like...
He should have been like, sorry, I'm training to fight.
No, he ain't doing that, you know that.
He's like, fuck that. Minute 23, I don't
want to
do it again.
No, he's trying to do that again, but let's not go there. He was just basically like... I'm walking Larry, and then he's like, it was nice to hear from you, Staples Center. So he commented on it. Well, apparently there started being major backlash on The Rock, even from fans. Like, people in the Staples Center obviously loved it, but fans on Twitter started going, well, how fucking disrespectful are you to WWE by doing that? Like, if any other wrestler got in the ring and just called CM Punk on their cell phone, they'd be fired or never spoken to, and... Yeah, obviously The Rock can't be fired.
Part-timer.
He's not even that. He's the highest grossing movie star of 2016.
Legend. Pioneer. Like, re-innovated wrestling for, like, guys of being...
Regardless
phenomenal.
If he has that status, it still is kind of disrespectful.
I'll agree to that. That is pretty disrespectful, but...
It's The Rock.
We're also talking about the guy who thinks that this whole falling out between the WWE and CM Punk is fucking stupid.
Oh, most people do. I mean, but...
Right, but he's the guy that will look Triple H, the COO of WWE, dead in the face and go, yeah. You're being dumb. Quit it.
There was kind of a backlash, like I said, with fans, so The Rock had to comment on it, and he basically said what I just said, that, like, it was... fun for the people in the arena. It was something that we got done.
Pretty much the people that are pissed off is the people who wasn't in the Staples Center is what I'm taking that. Like, really, they gotta, you know, at least get a shout out, and us, we're at home, didn't even get to see this. Like,
yeah,
sucks to be us.
There's
start going to the Staples Center. Maybe The Rock might get you guys a fucking voicemail.
As I'm like, apparently, Triple H and Vince McMahon were both very unhappy, with even being said that Vince McMahon sent a referee out to the ring to cut off the segment, and The Rock references that his mic's like getting cut off, and then they kind of dial back and let it roll.
So they had a referee on the movie shoot calling timeout.
Yeah, the referee. No, they sent one out there. Yeah, like, hold on, go on.
Vince is like, hey, ref, go out there.
Yeah, cut this shit off.
Stop the movie production. Do a 10 count.
So, what do you think about all this? You think
honestly, I'm laughing because it shit has me cracking up that a ref had a breakup.
I personally don't believe the report that Triple H and Vince McMahon were that upset about it.
Why would they be upset?
I think that Vince McMahon was upset about it, but that's because he doesn't like things happening that he doesn't know about.
True. That makes a lot of sense, yep. He is a very micromanager.
Still, like, two of your biggest
Triple H Past probably thought stars. It was funny as hell. Cause
no, I'm saying
that's just Triple H. You know, we're talking about the guy that would go out and fucking Vince McMahon would tell him not to do something, and then him and Shawn Michaels would go out to the ring and do it anyways.
Yeah, they. Yeah, I'm. I don't know how much
up,
I.
He has kids.
I don't
he's
know.
He's a hypocrite
he
now.
Is, he is corporate now, but I.
I have kids. It doesn't make me any different than I was.
Well, you're one of the few.
I was say, so you stay with Lousy Weather Media much longer, you're going to go corporate, man.
And... you've known me long enough. Am I any different than I was in high school, really?
Not really.
I'm a little more sober.
Yeah.
Just a little, but that's about it.
So I still don't even... I don't understand this whole, like... This whole thing was fucking weird. You have... Somebody in the ring portraying to be AJ Lee. You got somebody else in the ring portraying to be Paige that you're kind of on the fucking outs with already as is, that you're having The Rock
pretty much
a,
The Rock is
a
making
movie
a movie of people the WWE hates right now.
and they're
calling the man
they
hate the most, CM Punk. Let's get him on the phone to piss him off even more.
Whole situation.
And only
funny.
The Rock
no,
can go,
no, it
only
been,
I can do this.
It could have been a lot worse. The Rock could have called Vince Russo.
Bro, if Russo would have answered.
I was about to say, Russo would have picked up. Yeah, he'd been like, I'm on TV again? Bro. Yeah,
he would have been like, bro, this is great for my podcast.
Like,
bro
yeah. Like
thebrand.com, bro. Anyway, I saw another report that now WWE is saying that Seth Rollins is highly unlikely to compete at WrestleMania. It's not looking like
they
he's going to...
changing it.
Yeah, it's not looking like he's going to rehab... fast enough. I mean, they're still saying seems unlikely.
It sounds like the injury report from an NFL football team.
Yeah, it's like you just mark him as injured on Wednesday, but he still shows
so he
up game
practice,
ready on Sunday.
So he's not going to practice until the week of WrestleMania. Oh, I got it.
It says that he's going to miss. I'm trying to look at the little article here while I'm looking at it. But yeah, they're saying WWE posted the preview on Raw. And then said, at this point, it seems unlikely that Rollins will be able to compete at WrestleMania.
At the like the very next day from his
they better fucking
fast
that. Track Finn Balor back then because we need that baby face.
The WWE definitely did play this like it was an angle. Like in their press release for it, they said, will Rollins confirm this unfortunate news? Or will he have another message for Triple H and
oh, they're
Samoa
kayfabing
Joe.
It. They're so kayfabing it. That
yeah,
is so kayfabe.
Hey, they played that out like a fucking storyline angle.
Well, they got to do something to keep their fucking feud going because they don't want that bitch to die.
I mean, whether there's truth to it about if he's unlikely to make WrestleMania or not.
From the initial reports, they're saying he could be out 3 to 6 months with the injury that he had.
What I saw was like he would be coming back like the week before and WrestleMania.
Then that's what I was going to say. Like then later on that week, it was like.
Well, that would still be about 3 months, wouldn't it? Because it's been since middle.
He actually went, you know, initially they thought that he had re-injured where he had previously had surgery.
Yeah.
And then they actually went in and examined him and they're like, okay, it's not as bad as we thought it was.
They're
not
saying
going
it was
to
an
miss
MCL
quite
sprain,
as much.
Right?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
An MCL sprain.
Yeah,
right?
I believe it.
As far as I know, he's not going to require surgery. And if he does, it's not going to be a major surgery.
Which, I mean, an MCL sprain is no joke. I mean, that's a painful, you know, injury. I don't know if you guys have had an MCL sprain, but I've had a few friends who have had MCL sprains.
My brother
has torn their MCLs and shit like that. And it's definitely not a pleasant, you know, injury to have.
No, nothing in the knee. Really
no.
is. That's your stems,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, my brother actually. I really don't remember exactly how it happened, but right around the corner over here, when we were kids, my brother wrapped himself around a telephone pole. Like he got jackknifed off of his bicycle, and it. He banged up his knee, and he had to wear one of those big freaking air splints. Like all summer, we shared a room and had bunk beds, and I had the bottom bunk because I'm the oldest and I got to choose. But I had to switch with him because he couldn't climb up. Cause it literally
so
went,
from that point on, Dustin slept on the top bunk.
Yeah.
that sucked, hadn't it?
Like, no, as soon as he got it off, no longer. As soon as he was able to not wear it anymore, I'm like, guess what? He's like, what? I'm like, you're sleeping on top bunk tonight.
That's when Dustin had his first wrestling match.
Yeah.
Like, we are wrestling for the bunk.
Well, what do you... this started coming out this week that rumors around backstage was that Shaquille O'Neal versus Big Show is being called off for WrestleMania.
I've seen the Big Show talk about it.
Mm. Well, that's what happened this week. I can't remember if it was
serious about it.
I can't remember if it was PW Insider or if it was Meltzer, but one of them reported at the beginning of the week that word around backstage is that the match is not gonna happen.
Have you seen Shaq?
And
I mean,
Shaq probably couldn't pass his wellness test.
And
I just seen Shaq 2 days ago on TNT with fucking the commentary on there, and I was like, he's supposed to wrestle? Motherfuckers eating Dunkin' Donuts like it's fucking style.
So they did start kind of working it, and they had WWE.com do an interview with Big Show about it, and he's basically saying that he started cutting a promo about like how Shaq's been getting under his skin for a while and blah blah blah, and then he basically went on to say that he thinks Shaq is getting scared and backing out of it. So they're gonna work that. Who knows if it's gonna happen? They might just do a face off or something of that sort
for WrestleMania 34,
or make it very gimmicky. You know what I mean? You can have Shaq come out, but he'll come out with a dude that has his back to fight Big Show for him or something. You know what I mean? They can play that up into something way bigger than what it is. Kind of like McMahon Bret Hart from fucking 5 years ago or whatever, when they had 30 Hart family members get in the ring and just beat up Vince McMahon.
I'm glad I did not see that.
You know what's
But you didn't see Bret Hart's return to the ring? Come on, man.
No.
Legendary classic, Matt classic.
The sound of your voice made me think not a Matt classic.
What were you gonna say, Spike?
We're talking about all this WrestleMania stuff, and you know what hasn't the one thing that hasn't been leaked is what the hell is Braun Strowman doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
like, I know that they're pushing.
Did you see this week?
Did
you see the main event this week between him and Big Show?
Yeah,
I did, but I don't remember a lot of it.
Okay, the big news coming out of that this week is that it's one of the first times I was telling Derek this. It's one of the first weeks in, I can't remember the exact point of time, few months maybe now, that they actually retained viewers throughout the show to the main event. Like, usually, like, Raw might start with, like, 3.1, then it's down to, like, 2.8, then by the main event, it's down to 2 million viewers.
Unless Goldberg shows up, and then it's back to 3.8.
Even then, they haven't been able to retain viewers, this is one of the first weeks and months that they were able to retain viewers through for the big colossal. This big show versus Braun.
I'm hot, then I'm cold, and fuck.
This is the one time they've been able to keep viewers all the way to the end for this Big Show versus Braun Strowman clash. We got to see the old classic WWE 1989 two big guy fucking match, and it held viewers. And I think it just kind of attributes to we haven't seen WWE do this kind of thing in a while for a main event.
I was shocked.
What, the two big guys like that?
That they put on a really good match.
And they had a good match.
They're doing this real slow build with Braun Strowman, and I think that people are really digging it, and because he's not a defined heel or face. He's just
a monster destroying everyone right now.
He's like, if you get in my way, I'm just gonna plow through you type of guy.
Well, speaking of plowing, did you guys hear this news story this week?
Who was he plowing?
No, that porn company Brazzers is doing a Montreal screw job porn parody.
I did see that.
The Montreal fuck job.
So Sean's going to be fucking Brett? Is it going to be a gay porn?
It's two chicks, one dressed like Bret Hart and one dressed like Shawn Michaels.
And then,
because when you think about it, it's a guy screwing another guy. So I was like, oh, man, Sean's definitely going to be getting this bad boy.
Romy Rain and Maya Malkova are the female stars. I can't remember what the guy's name is, but I saw a picture that was...
So the rest fucking both of them?
Maybe Vince McMahon. Here's the Vince McMahon character here. Let's see if I can get this picture to pop up in. There you go. I don't know what the hell they're trying to put Maya Makova in, trying to get the Shawn Michaels red.
Yeah, that's the Shawn Michaels vest, yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, they really missed out not putting her in the assless chaps. Shawn Michaels in the 90s.
I'm just surprised you're impressed with the women, because it's men fucking men in that match, and you could have had your wish.
Could have had my Shawn Michaels Bret Hart wish.
The least amount of clothes on.
I'm surprised he's as impressed as with the women as he is, considering that they're not Nikki Bella. Yeah.
The one does have black hair and big titties, so. Well, maybe we can. What the hell did Natalia say to Nikki Bella this week?
All about her silicone.
He called her fake.
Silicone something or other.
Silicone sincerity.
Silicone insincerity.
Insincerity, yeah.
I was.
And her trashy wrestling. Dude, she shit on her wrestling.
I thought that was so funny. It was like, you can't say breast implants. And she's like, silicone insincerity. How about that? And they're like,
I can say silicone. They're like,
perfect. That's perfect. Go out there and say that shit. Well, no, are you excited for the Montreal Screwjob parody fucking 20 years later?
No.
You both just shake your head like, nah. I mean, I don't know how they're going to make
it. It's women fucking women.
Well, no, there's a Vince McMahon guy in there.
So it's two chicks fucking
No one
an old
fucked
guy.
Vince McMahon like, during that match. He fucked everyone.
Well, Vince screwed Brett, according to Brett.
So who does Sean fuck?
Everything.
But are they gonna
Sean fucks everything.
But are they gonna do a Brett screwed Brett scene, like just show the chick that plays Brett masturbating?
Yep. You know that's coming. There's no way they would not. I don't know how they would ever make an hour and a half movie out of it. It's gotta be just like a 20 minute movie. I was about to say it's gotta be just like a scene or two that they're putting on their website or something, but
well, there's the rumor that, you know, and it's, I don't know if you really call it a rumor, because a lot of guys say it about him, that Shawn Michaels gave head to get ahead. So you got the chick that's playing Shawn Michaels doing Vince McMahon to get the title, to be put over as the top guy. Then you got
Spike's writing this movie right here.
the Vince McMahon character.
Shawn's, I see you, John.
Instead of metaphorically, literally screwing the Bret Hart character. Mm. And then you'll have the actual match, in which will end up being the Shawn Michaels character ending up screwing the Bret Hart character.
Yeah,
and I would imagine there'll be, you know, like a Triple H character in there somewhere also.
Oh yeah, somebody with a big nose. I saw there whoever posted the article, they put it like a little GIF with it of Shawn Michaels from like 1997. Simulating like a blowjob to like the guy in the front row. Like he points at the guy and starts going like this and massaging the balls and shit. And they were like, we know one thing, Maya Malkova has a lot of, or has big shoes to fill. And then it shows fucking Sean like simulating a blowjob. It's funny as fuck. Yeah. Well, you guys want to take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll talk the hits and misses of Raw and SmackDown and so on and so forth and get out of here.
Sure.
How about that? It'd be hard to understand become a junkie like sliding in the cutlass and you know I painted candy. Then I pulled up in a bucket, but I used to want a him and I'm pouring up the round down sipping. Hi out there in Lousy Weather Media Network land. Do you hate stuff?
I hate stuff.
I know you hate stuff. I'm trying to figure out if the listeners out there.
Do you hate stuff? You listening right now, do you hate stuff? There's gotta be something you hate.
Well, some of those things might match up with some of the things we talk about on Let the Hate Flow Through You, a podcast done by me, Jeremy Shear, and El Hordano Diablo.
That's me.
Yeah, he's late on the cues, but he's a firebrand.
But quick on the brews.
Quick on the he is. He's got a drinking problem, and I hate it.
And Jeremy hates it.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate your drinking problem.
That's fine.
I hate your fat belly.
You love that.
Okay, that's true. I do love his fat belly.
But he hates me.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
We'll get into that on Let the Hate Flow Through You, which we release every Monday.
Because everybody hates Mondays.
I really fucking hate you.
I hate you too.
Goddamn Garfield-ass motherfucker.
I hate recording commercials. I'm done.
When something I forgot to talk about in the news segment.
So was,
What's up?
I thought who's coming down the ring from ECW? Moment I heard
this is
heard
their this was their I original was, television show. All right, opening
yeah,
song.
That's what I thought it was.
They would use it during a bunch of the like videotape
video,
promos.
Yeah, for like their Warfare Volume 3.
I forgot to talk about this in the news segment, but apparently C.W. Anderson, do you remember C.W. Anderson?
No, I don't remember him at all. No, he only looked like an Anderson. Him.
Jesus. He he did an interview, and he went on to say that, you know, Paul Heyman was filming Rollerball, and it's kind of a common thing people said for a long time, that he was in Los Angeles filming Rollerball instead of being in Philadelphia saving ECW. You know what I mean? And
I think he already knew there was nothing to save. That's why he was filming Rollerball.
Paul Heyman responded to this criticism. It's been how many years of getting this? You know, it's been 16 years of people saying this to him.
Yeah.
And he basically went on to say that Rollerball was filmed in this June and July of 2001, and it was filmed in Montreal and Yonkers, New York. ECW was already closed. He was already an employee of WWE, and Rollerball had to go through WWE to book him for that movie. So he was never in Los Angeles, never during the last couple, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The rumor was that Paul was telling people he was going to Los Angeles to make TV deals, and then people said that, oh, well, he was actually just filming Rollerball the whole time and never making TV deals.
Yeah.
He's like, that's bullshit. I was doing Rollerball in July following, you know, 6 months or four months after ECW closed. And then my favorite line of this whole thing was at the very end of it. And he's like, oh, I almost forgot to answer CW's nagging self-question as to why he was only paid $75 a night when others had more, at least on paper. He says that was the going rate for a lower level stooge who reported on the locker room to Tommy Dreamer. But admittedly, he was a damn good one. Props. When I saw that, I was like, that's funny. Wait,
that's awesome.
Why am I only being paid $75 a night? Because that's the going rate for a stooge like you, you fuck. Like, I thought that was pretty funny. But you never really hear Paul.
I feel bad for, I mean.
Shit, I'd kill to get $75.
I mean, I was about to say, like.
Especially when you're working. I mean, the ECW schedule wasn't full time, but they were running a couple shows
a
week.
Just to be Tommy Dreamer's friend, you were getting $75. Like,
and stooge on the locker room.
Yeah, like.
I'd be Tommy Dreamer's friend for free.
Fuck that. Give me $75 goddamn. I'll do it, not bitch.
I'd be like, Tommy, give me a hot dog. All right, shake my hand. Okay, we're friends now.
So he but you never really hear Paul Heyman come out and defend himself like that very often.
Not this
many years down the road. Like, yeah. He even says that in all the, because this was a series of tweets, about 10 tweets or so that this was from, and even in the middle of it said that he's like, you know, I'm with Brock Lesnar constantly, and I ask him if he wants to retort to some of these rumors, and Brock just laughs and says, why? And he's like, so that's kind of been my mantra also for all this time. You know, why? I'm doing more cool, important things now, you know? Yeah. Like, I have things going on now
to
talk about.
And
why
I
talk
don't
about,
have to worry about bouncing checks.
Yeah, well, yeah. Why worry about talking about something from 16 years ago?
The other thing is that, like, a lot of these people that are coming out and running their mouths now, it's like Paul Heyman said, like, it's the lower level guys.
Mm.
You don't hear the Dudleys or Tommy Dreamer or Rhino or Rob Van Dam or Sabu saying shit like that. Mm. It's C.W. Anderson. It's fucking Joel Gertner.
Yeah, I mean, I have Tommy Dreamer has been very heavily critical in the past of more purely just the way he felt Paul just kind of either lied or abandoned everyone. And then Tommy Dreamer has gone on record of saying,
I'll concede that Paul Heyman could have tried a little harder.
There's a thing I can't remember what it's from. It might be Paul Heyman's DVD, but Tommy Dreamer is talking about it, and he says that he never forgave Paul from 2001, because Paul was telling him, yeah, we got shows still coming up, and all of a sudden Paul's on WWE Raw. So he had already always felt slighted by that. And then he watched a segment on Raw 2011, maybe, when Paul came back. And Paul said in ring to Vince McMahon, like, because Vince McMahon accused him of being a liar. And he's like, you're right. I lied. I lied every day of my life to keep that company to go to the next day. I did everything I could to make that company go from one day to the next day. And that's when Tommy Dreamer was like, all right, I understand it. I can forgive him now. And since then, he's been, they've all been, what do you call it? Roses? Apples and roses?
Sure.
Sugar and bunnies? Happy together?
They're holding hand buddies?
Anyway, yeah. The whole thing with the... I just thought it was pretty funny to see Paul Heyman come out and call CW a stooge. $75 a night, stooge. Like, you don't really see him burying people like that too often, you know?
Well, it's...
Because the smart ones haven't said
nothing. Yeah, you know, the lower-level guys, and some of the UCW guys, their careers just didn't take off.
Let's say 90% of them.
I was about to say they were in ECW for a reason.
There wasn't. Yeah, I was about to say there wasn't many people that came out of that.
There are a lot of guys
that
were really, really talented, but just weren't given the opportunities, or they just, you know, they gave up after ECW folded or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Or they couldn't pass their drug test.
Yeah, I was about to say drugs, and a lot of them too.
Some just got handed bad stuff, like, and made bad decisions. Like Mike Awesome mm-hmm. was a tremendous talent and made horrible decisions.
Yeah.
Like going to WCW when ECW was on the verge of a WWE buyout, and he would have been in a better situation if he would have just stuck around for 6 more months.
He went and did that 70s guy, killed his career, and by the time he did make it to WWE in the Invasion, nobody gave a fuck.
And he cut off his mullet.
Yeah.
Then his power, all of his talent was located in his mullet.
The mullet, yeah, for Mike
Awesome. Yeah, his best match was that One Night Stand 2005 with Masato Tanaka.
Yeah. Dude, that is brutal.
Yeah, and then he ended up killing himself a year after that.
Look at the guys that had some degree of success after ECW folded. So the guys that ended up on WWE programming because they waited for the buyout.
Mm. I mean, a few of them left early, Dudley's and them. But yeah, RVD didn't come till the Invasion. I can't think of anyone.
RVD was doing...
RVD
in 97, yeah, but RVD was on the final
ECW show. He was what ECW put ECW show. On the map.
RVD, Jerry Lynn had a small run. Just Incredible had a small little run after that, coming into 2001, 2002. Who?
Incredible. They gave him shit gimmicks.
Mm. But, I mean, I was about to say, by the time 2001, 2 was rolling around, he kind of
angles
spent
and,
on him, yeah.
This is no offense to Just Incredible, but there's a reason why WWE cut him loose the first time before he went to ECW.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't work out then. Chances are, if you didn't work out in the WWE in the early 90s, you try to come back during the...
But why would you want to wear underwear on your face?
Aldo Montoya.
Yeah, you come back at the tail end of the Attitude Era.
They never gave him a fair shot.
You're not going to get the success that
he was one of the bad gimmicks out of the hat.
The Aldo Montoya thing's kind of funny, too, because I've heard stories where they basically, like, they just found...
Was he the $75 stooge?
They found a guy that could speak Portuguese and put a gimmick on him. They were like, we want a Portuguese soccer player gimmick. Oh, you speak Portuguese? You're him now. And that's how Aldo Montoya came about.
Yeah.
They reached into the bag of gimmicks, threw some underwear at his face, and said, there you go, bro.
Go with it.
I'm pretty sure it was one of those instances where they had a slingshot and a pack of gum, and they chew up the gum and use the slingshot and just sling it against the wall, and just whatever it hits, that's what they were going with.
And it was underwear.
Minotaur guy.
So you want to talk about Raw and SmackDown a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
We'll run through some of these big moments that happened. Raw's opening this week. I don't even remember what the fuck the opening was. The first thing I remember
is Kevin Owens in the ring.
Oh yeah, that's right. Kevin Owens sitting alone, cutting a promo.
He addressed the big question in the room, which wasn't Chris Jericho. It was about Goldberg.
Mm. And he spoke about how he's going to wrestle Goldberg Sunday, or following Sunday, week from Sunday. Be right. coming from this way. No.
Correct.
Anyway.
I got what you're saying.
Yeah. What did you think about Kevin Owens' promo here?
That's good.
Yeah.
I like Kevin Owens. Kevin Omos.
Kevin Omos.
I don't know why.
Kevin Homos.
Yeah, Kevin Owens promos.
Mm.
Yeah, he's good on the mic.
Very good.
I like the idea that he's like doesn't even want to talk about Chris Jericho. Like he does the whole thing, talks about Goldberg, talks about how, you know, he's never impressed by Goldberg. He's not afraid of Goldberg. And then he gets to Chris Jericho. And he just kind of...
The mic drop?
He just walks away. He's like, fuck it. I don't even want to talk about it.
And then is that when he went backstage and then Mick Foley went running up to him like, where are you going? And then he's like, I'm leaving. He's like, you have a match against Sami Zayn tonight.
Yeah, that was after this.
Oh, my God. As soon as motherfucking Mick Foley was like, you have a match against Sami Zayn tonight, I was like, fucking really?
That's why I said again.
Like, I've watched these two wrestle every fucking month. Now, obviously, they got out of it this week. They didn't have them wrestle. But
still.
When they promote that, I could have turned it off right then. I was like, I do not give a fuck. I love the two of them.
They're going to have a good match.
They're going to have a great match every time, but we've watched 100 great matches from them in these 2 years. Like, how Kevin Owens came to NXT how long ago? And the first person he attacked was Sami Zayn. So we've been watching Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens since then.
Yeah.
Like, since then. Two fucking years. Chemistry. Every month these guys are wrestling. Yep. And hundreds of TV matches, too. It's not even like they're fucking building up for big things. As soon as he said that, I was like...
pointless.
I was like, I'm turning this off. I'm fucking done. I didn't turn it off, but I was like, holy shit, dude, for real.
Yeah.
I did want to talk about this before. Let's back up a little bit. Sheamus and Cesaro wrestled Enzo and Cass.
Yeah,
and
that's
what. What were you going to say? You were just yelling Cesaro.
Yeah, Cesaro.
So
I love Cesaro.
At the end of the match, Enzo and Cass won. Pretty quickly, Cass won with like a roll up or whatever, however the fuck it was, a boot and then a pin or something stupid. But Enzo's outside talking, and I can't remember what he was saying, but he was repeating it like couple of haters, whatever the fuck he was saying. And
what, at the beginning?
Not at the end of the match.
At the end of the match.
And, that's when fucking Sheamus came in with one of the nastiest looking bro kicks I've ever seen. Like,
dude, the crowd was pleased.
When they showed, this is how you knew it was a nasty looking one, because when they showed it on the replay is when you got that UFC, like whenever they show knockouts on the fucking big screen in the arena and you hear the crowd react
all
to
go,
it.
Oh,
that was one of the only times I've heard WWE get some of that type
got
of reaction.
UFC-O.
Got like people in the crowd were like, he got knocked the fuck out. Like everybody turned into Smokey in the crowd right then, dude. I was like, holy shit. But I thought I'm hoping he's okay. Like, but like that literally, like he kicked him so hard he went to the ground. Sheamus did. He had to like fucking catch himself and stand up.
And then he got thank you chants.
Yeah,
like people are tired of Enzo already.
That's the first thing I noticed was people started yelling thank you Sheamus. Now, I mean, it wasn't like 16,000 strong yelling it, but there was nice smattering there.
I would say a third of the crowd.
That Cesaro even hear it. Cesaro even fucking threw up his hands to it and started like celebrating it. So,
like, I mean, when you can hear it,
Sheamus and Cesaro are the more over tag team. Mm-hmm. Like they're more popular.
Yeah,
when they went for the hot tag earlier in the match, dude. They're for sure the bigger.
Like, I don't know if people are getting so much as sick of Enzo or anything, but like he said, Sheamus and Cesaro are hot, and when Sheamus does something, they're hot, so hot. When Sheamus hits that kick, man, it was so brutal looking and cool looking that the crowd was just like, fuck yeah, you're awesome, man.
Yeah.
So,
exactly, like,
I mean, I don't know if they... We'll have to see
it's
if
to the
we
point
start.
Where he's going to start getting cheered.
Yeah, we'll have to
no
see.
More boo, yeah, boo,
we'll have
yeah.
to see how many boos he might start getting over the
or cheers.
I mean, I'm talking about Enzo and Cass. See how many boos like, or how much quieter the "Well, my name is Enzo" starts getting over the next few weeks if they're starting to lose popularity by being redundant. You know,
it could happen, but I don't see it happen anytime soon. It's
yeah,
kinda, they're kind of like the New Day, like they.
I can't remember when it was. A few segments later, they were starting a match, and fucking Roman was already in the ring. I think it was Roman against Gallows and Anderson or something like that.
Yeah, because
Roman's already in the ring. I was like, motherfucking Roman the Jobber, man. No entrance music, already in the ring. Fucking, that's how you're gonna do it. Obviously, they're probably cutting for time, like trying to hurry up, or also not have Roman get booed through an entrance on TV. That could be another reason why you just put him in the ring. Yeah. But it reminded me of the old 80s TV wrestling, because if the guy's already in the ring, if he doesn't have a cool jacket,
you know he's losing.
And yeah, and he has no entrance music, he's losing.
So pretty much you're
like
describing the Brooklyn Brawler.
The other thing is that, you know, like, Roman Reigns does get cheered occasionally,
mm-hmm.
but you're putting him in the ring with the club.
Yeah, he gets cheered
him in
at
with the
house
club.
Shows, and you got your best friend over here.
Me, yeah,
who,
I cheered him.
Who got added to my fucking list.
The list of Derrico.
The list of Derrico.
Like, we're cheering for Roman Reigns mm-hmm. after he's like, I hate this guy.
But
and then cheer
the,
him at
the
a
thing
house
is,
show.
And, you know, we talked about The Rock being there. Mm. He appeared before the show, before the show went on the air. And after the show went off the air. So they knew that The Rock was in the building. And if The Rock is there, Roman Reigns is not getting cheered. Fake Rock is not getting cheered when real Rock is in the building.
The Rock even said, he was like, I'm going to be backstage. I'm going to be cheering all the people you're going to be cheering and booing all the people you're booing. Roman Reigns. Boom splash. Yeah. But so he even fucking took a dig at Roman in his opening promo before the show.
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
It's his cousin, her nephew, or whoever the fuck, however he's related.
Yeah, why wouldn't he? I would, too.
So, but I thought they did the same thing with Kevin Owens later, when Kevin Owens was waiting for Sami Zayn. They came back from commercial, and Kevin Owens was already in the ring. And so that one I definitely felt was a little more like, we just got to keep moving. We're running out of time. Owens, get to the ring type shit, you know, and during commercial and come back. But yeah, Roman the Jobber. I made sure I wrote that down. What'd you think about Bayley's promo this week?
I liked it. I thought that she was, I thought for a hot second there, I thought that Bayley was going to relinquish the women's championship. Mm.
I think what...
And she's like, nah.
thank God. I really liked this segment for the most part, but it kind of ruined it for me when the very next night on... I'm just making sure none of my cats are going to run outside while the door's wide open like that. What was I saying?
The next night they stripped... Naomi of the women's
title. Yeah, that's what it was. It kind of lost a little bit of its luster for me when the very next night they do almost the exact same thing with Naomi. Then she had to be stripped of it, which pissed me off even more, because didn't fucking Becky Lynch just have an injury like 4 or 5 months ago that we had to wait 4 weeks for the rematch? So that was definitely outside of the 30-day defense
thing.
4 weeks
is not 30 days. 4 weeks is 28 days.
Yeah, but this chick's only been hurt for a week.
She's already given it up, yeah.
And
so they didn't even let her wait the 30 days to defend it.
Yeah, they were trying to to hotshot this for a reason. I just hate when they contradict themselves like that.
It's like what I said with the when they had her win it at the pay-per-view, and then they had Bayley win the title the next night. It's like, oh, yeah, congratulations, Naomi. You're the women's champion. It's Bayley!
Yes.
And that just Bayley's women's title reign completely over, even the 1 week that Naomi was champion, Bayley winning the title completely overshadowed that.
If we're going to just fast forward to that part on SmackDown a little bit, I will say that Naomi was very over on SmackDown. She was one of the most popular people that night. And
honestly, with her being hurt, like, this is the perfect opportunity for them to set up her coming back from injury and then winning the title again at WrestleMania in her hometown, which they do, in fact, like to do, especially when it's WrestleMania. Mm.
Normally, I was about to say, a lot of times they always book people to lose in their hometowns.
But not at WrestleMania. Mm.
So we'll have to see how it all shakes out. But Naomi was definitely very over. The crowd loved her. I just thought it was really dumb that when the segment was done, they were just like, all right, boom, women's title match now. Like, sorry, Naomi, we're not worrying about you anymore. We're just going to have a match right now. And I just feel like they could have built that up a little more.
I didn't understand how Becky Lynch automatically gets a title.
Yeah, they could have at least been like, okay, tonight we're going to have a four-way, and next week we'll have one-on-one, or so on. They could have spaced it out a little bit, but I feel like they just obviously wanted to get the title change done.
It looks like Mickey James is the $75 bitch for SmackDown, obviously.
But going back to Raw, though, I thought Bayley's promo was great. She had perfect cadence on it to not allow the crowd was engaged instead of waiting for when they can say what, or you know what I mean? Like they were listening and following her, and she didn't give it that. I called my dad last week, and then I said this, and he said this. Like she was like,
she does talk like that, but she didn't say those exact words.
She didn't cut her promo to leave the what spaces. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not that people would have done that to her, but you got to be smarter than
She's
the crowd
not a
sometimes.
Heel, so they're not going to want her.
They still might. If they don't give a fuck what you're talking about, or you cut that promo in that cadence, they're going to give you the what.
Even if they do like you, they'll still what you. Especially if they know that you'll play into it.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, you remember Piper's Pit at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
And he was like, he's talking, they're all saying what, and he's like, seriously? And then he played into it, and the promo was great.
Mm.
And like I don't get that engaged with Monday Night Raw a lot of the times. And even I was like I sat up and I'm like, what are they doing? Like, are they seriously? I'm like, is she gonna give up the belt?
Yeah, then
is
they had Stephanie come down and
like she's got the belt in her hand and she's like she's like leaning towards Stephanie, and I'm like, no. I'm like, they're not going to do that. Like, that is total bullshit.
Yeah. I thought Stephanie in this whole scenario was kind of dumb, because it's like, all right, we all just watched the same footage. If they wouldn't have showed us the Dana Brooke part, then maybe Stephanie would have a little more, you know what I mean? Like, when she's like, well, you cheated for that win. It was like, okay, well, the other bitch was trying to cheat too. Like,
right.
Like, it happened literally 5 seconds before my cheating happened. And then she also made the point, which needed to be made, which was really good, was she was like, or Bayley, I should say. Bayley made a point. I pinned her 3 fucking times.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and last week's was for the fucking title, you know? I mean, she probably left out the fuckings, but...
Yeah, I mean, she's not going to say the fuckings, because then her popularity would be soaring way below, and probably
I liked her boots she was wearing too. It was kind of weird.
I'm surprised you don't have Bayley hidden. I'm disgusted of this bitch. She's
over.
Champion now. I'm disgusted with her.
But I thought it was funny because
she's the thrown in the corner champion for you.
The girl, her boots were like real high and orange and white. Instead, well, yeah. Normally, her boots are a little shorter.
You're digging the high cut.
I had to go back and think what her boots have been like, and then you're so used to all these girls wearing flat boots with with boot covers and shit like that.
Yeah,
so.
She just wears straight up fucking.
Mm. She reminds me of they're like old school '80s wrestling boots. That's what I thought was cool about it. But. That whole thing was cool. You Deserve It's getting a little over fucking played. Like, got it. They did You Deserve It that night, and You Deserve It the very next night for both the girls that won titles. It's if everybody, deserve it? Yeah, it's like, holy shit.
Yes, Derek, you totally deserve to be WWE Women's Champion.
It's like, so I'm going to be on the roster for a year, win the belt, and then fucking I deserved it. You know what I mean? Not like... Bayley's been put down and shit on for fucking
only been made to take bumps.
Like somebody for a year, when fucking Daniel Bryan wins the WWE championship.
Just think, Sean, a year of bumping, you can become champ.
You can understand, just selling if you sell well.
Yeah.
But anyway, my point is Daniel Bryan winning the WWE championship after being shit on and fucking put down for that many years is a you deserve it moment. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Not a we know you deserve it.
When you've just been booked in good storylines for a year and then you win the belt, or in Naomi's case, a few months, you know what I mean? And then you win the belt. It's not a you deserve it moment. It's just, it's getting so over fucking played. Getting overplayed, man. They're chanting you deserve it because people are debuting. They're chanting you deserve it when they win a bell. They're chanting you deserve it when they took a poop. You know what I mean? It's getting fucking,
I was about to say, like, yeah, you go to the bathroom ridiculous. And you deserve it. Yeah, I deserve to take a shit. You're right.
But then they did Sasha versus Charlotte here following this, which was a pretty good match. Yeah, not a bad match between them.
I didn't expect Sasha nothing.
Did a pretty cool fucking... she did her double knee like takedown, but she did it from either the apron or one of the ropes to the floor. And man, all I could think about was like, okay, this girl's had an injured knee for the past month, and then she's taking those double knees straight to the fucking ground. Like, thank God for knee pads or that shit.
Your knees don't actually hit the ground on that move though.
It looked like that she fucking took her knee to the ground pretty hard on that shit.
I do that move. Mm. I've done that move. It doesn't... Actually, I just did it last weekend.
Mm.
My knees didn't hit
so at all. What do you hit then?
You land on the person.
Okay. I was about to say, I still... I'm like going off...
In my case, the two people.
Going off her thing, I swear that knee cracked the ground, man. It looked nasty. She was... She even was grimacing hard.
It's supposed to look nasty.
Yeah. But yeah, she...
If it doesn't look good, they're not doing good.
She right. She was grimacing pretty good, too. But they had an all right match. It wasn't bad. And Bailey on commentary wasn't bad either.
Yeah.
Commentary on Raw has definitely gotten a lot better. I feel like the three of them have a...
Their chemistry's... growing. They have a
chemistry.
Well.
On SmackDown, on the other hand, there's this whole slew of like moments where nobody talks or they're talking over each other. Like at least Byron.
They're like us. Though,
Byron is doing Byron's doing a better job of playing the third man between Michael and Corey.
Because he is the third man, sadly.
Otunga doesn't understand fourth man or whatever the fuck he is. Like,
Ortunga was the third man and Phillips was the fourth man.
Okay, yeah. Well, Tom Phillips now just hosts the show. Tom Phillips used to just fucking do like
now
the,
he hosts the throws to breaks.
Yeah, Tom Phillips is on the entire show now.
He's like the fucking Joey Styles of the team.
Morrow didn't even say a word until a good 2-3 minutes into the show this week. Yeah. And he was just like, Mamma Mia, or something like that is all he said.
Now for Raw.
Airplane mode.
Yeah. We forgot last week about Raw for the New Day's ice cream. We forgot to bring that up. So okay. We got to definitely talk about it
New
this
Day's
week.
Ice cream?
Yeah, you guys haven't seen it yet?
Mm-hmm.
No.
They want their own ice cream. They've been having
like the way they had in cereal?
They've been having the crowd chant, we want ice cream. Well, last week, they've now gave Sean's favorite tag team.
Which
Jinder Mahal and Rusev, they have like nicknames now. Hardbody, Mahal, and Handsome Rusev,
nice.
As you know. So they're definitely a team now, Sean. They got nicknames. Yeah, so
it's
official.
The new fucking, they're the new Midnight Express.
But it had me dying.
Sweet Stan and Beautiful Bobby. Like, what the fuck did you say? Hardbody,
Hardbody, Mahal. And Handsome Rusev.
Are they the new heavenly bodies? Is that
what it's
going to
be?
That's
what
it sounds like, yes. But what had me dying was they had plans last week and on Monday, and we didn't talk about it, that Rusev destroyed the plans for their blueprint ice cream.
Yeah.
And this week they put them on digital, and they had like all these security codes and was like, oh, no one could get them. And Lana was like, oh, yeah. She was like, these codes, and started talking about need 2 drops of booty juice, this and then. Wood said the funniest thing. He was like, yeah, Lana has our code. She's Russian. Of course, she hacked us and like had me dying. The match wasn't that great, but the whole slight on
the Russian hacking.
Lana being Russian and they hacked him, like that had me fucking dying. But I'm thinking
the hashtag Lana squad.
Yeah, like I'm seriously thinking the New Day's honestly going to get a real ice cream. Like,
yeah.
Because they've already had the cereal. They're going to be hosting WrestleMania this year. Like, People are into them. It's
yeah, the host for WrestleMania thing is something we didn't talk about either. No, because
if they don't come out in something comparable to their Super Saiyan gear from last year, I'm going to be very, very upset.
Oh,
like they better the booty come box, out.
Yeah, well, I was like, cereal, that'd be awesome. The next thing, I know they're coming out of cereal, and I was like, oh, that is fucking
yeah, but they were
bad.
Yeah, they were also wearing DBZ. They were wearing DBZ costumes.
Yeah, I was about to say they all had DBZ style things on. They
like, they better have like fuck. They better come out in fucking Power Rangers costumes.
The whole hosting thing is weird. I think because
first time that not a celebrity, it's an actual.
I think it is. I think the reasoning behind it though is just to give them something to do.
Yeah, said they're not.
They're not at an angle. Yeah, they don't have the belt anymore.
And
but,
they're still really hot, so gotta give them something.
Very entertaining. So they'll open the show probably with Brock or Stone Cold or something,
and help Xavier Woods hit a million viewers. Go like them on
up, up, down, down,
up, down, down.
Yeah, so you can watch people break kayfabe and play against each other in Madden and stuff like that.
It's awesome.
But the Raw. I want to move on to just the Brock Lesnar thing at the end because I didn't watch this. So this is when I fell asleep. What the hell even did Paul Heyman have to say in this promo?
I didn't really pay attention to word for word what he said and wrote it down. But
well, no, I just meant like give me the gist of what he meant.
It was pretty much them telling Kevin Owens that he's wrong. For not taking Goldberg seriously. They're like, you should believe the hype. You should take him seriously because Brock Lesnar did not take him seriously and lost in a minute 28 seconds. And it was because we didn't take him seriously, but we're taking him seriously now, and so do you. If you don't, you will not walk out of Fastlane with the Universal title.
Yeah.
And we hope that you don't, because we want to beat Goldberg for the Universal Championship.
So we got Fastlane coming up this week, and when you're looking at it, how do you see this match playing out? Do you see them having a regular match? I'm talking Kevin Owens, Goldberg. Do you see them having a regular match? Do you see them Jericho screwing Owens? Do you see Lesnar screwing Goldberg? How do you see this
Jericho,
match shaking
if anything,
out?
Yeah, I see Jericho screwing Owens,
and then so Owens loses the belt,
or
and then
maybe
they,
it he retains the title because of
I feel like no matter what
gets him disqualified, you know what I'm saying?
I feel like they're gonna be missing something if they don't do the belt move to Goldberg. Like I know. Goldberg, Lesnar doesn't need the belt.
Put it this way. They give him the belt.
Let's put the belt on.
Just watch the Big Show.
Let's put the belt on Goldberg, and let's put that as the final match on the show, since that's the one everybody's paying to see. You know,
not going to be the main event, but...
That's why I'm saying give it the belt, and then you can put it last without having to worry about the belt having to be last. You know what I mean? Yeah. You could just... give Goldberg the belt. Now this match can be fucking last, and this is going to close Mania. You know what I mean?
I don't think they'll close Mania.
What else are you going to... What else is bigger? What else is bigger that you're going to close Mania
that's
with?
That's been SmackDown title. That's why they've been calling it the main event.
They're also building up...
I was about to say, Goldberg-Lesnar
they're also
is still...
trying to
I would want Lesnar-Goldberg
still
last,
bigger
the thing
than...
is that they're trying to build the Universal title... up.
Yeah.
The WWE Championship is already established as a top tier title.
And prestige.
Universal
title is
two champions.
That's why I'm saying they'd probably want that as their main title because it already has prestige compared to
the
Universal.
The big thing going into this is Goldberg going to be able, are they going to be okay with Goldberg or Brock Lesnar being Universal Champion on a part-time schedule? Because when Brock Lesnar was WWE Champion during his last reign, it was not well-received with him not being there all the time.
And
it's just old school. Think about
when
Hulk
Hogan,
WCW,
was
he on TV?
It was definitely not well-received by the majority the internet or smart fans or whatever.
Like,
but
I thought that with the brand extension that they were going to go back to the every other month. you know, like back to the old brand extension where like Backlash was Raw, Judgment Day was SmackDown, the next one was Raw, the next one was SmackDown, and then you had SummerSlam.
No, Spike, no, we're doing 2 a month.
Yeah, they're doing 2 a month now. And
yeah, for the most part, I think they got up to 17 so, or 18 this year.
So your champion needs to be there
plus takeovers
every month.
Hmm. You know? For sure. How they're doing now, if your champion's not there, it does lose credibility. Mm-hmm. But if you can do it the right way.
I was about to say, it does depend on the time of year, too, because last time they did the Lesnar one, they ran that through the end of summer to the beginning of the year, if I remember
and
right.
And that's when you need to, because there's lack of interest during the summertime.
So it's easy to keep that guy off TV. We'll just do main events with this guy.
Easier. When you're like during the wintertime, you got more people indoors watching stuff like that. So
it might have been directly in the middle of summer. So I remember them headlining a few events with Dean and Seth Rollins.
The point is that they're building up. They're trying to build up the new belt.
Hmm.
Oh, for sure.
And if he's not there for every show to defend the title at every pay-per-view or special event or whatever you want to call it, that's not going to build up the belt.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like they're doing the same thing with the UK title. They had Tyler Bate defend it on NXT.
Yeah.
Last week. And because they're
and no one knows who he is,
they're
still
building this new belt.
Mm.
Well, it doesn't help that him and his three main contenders all have the same fucking haircut.
I noticed that too, right?
But
someone else did.
That you got to have him there. He has to be there.
See, I disagree though.
I mean, I'll give it credit. You know, for a guy that's you know, he's got a part time. He's got a Legends contract. He's part time. He's there more frequently than Lesnar is.
Yeah.
He's there like Goldberg's been on Raw every other week.
He's been on a lot of TV.
Put it this way. If you're Brock Lesnar, you could pull off being off television like he is and be a part-timer.
I was about to say, I think
now,
Goldberg would have a harder time doing
Goldberg
that than
would be harder
Lesnar
to
would.
Do would.
I think Lesnar would be a lot more believable.
But
if
any other
people, Lesnar wins the,
like Kevin Owens?
Like, yeah, I think
do that.
If Lesnar wins the belt at WrestleMania and doesn't defend it again until SummerSlam, I don't think anybody would bat an eye like they would if like you're saying, anybody else did that same thing.
Exactly. Honestly, if they put the belt on Goldberg, Lesnar's not going over to WrestleMania. I don't see that happening.
You mean, send the fans home happy.
Yeah, for sure.
if it's
he
not...
He wants the superhero.
If it's going to be the last match, maybe. Then yeah, Goldberg's going to retain and keep it at
and if it's not the last match,
the thing
you
is
know.
That Goldberg is scheduled to wrestle through SummerSlam.
Mm.
Like he's doing more. He's pretty much he's booked for almost the rest of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
With WWE.
Mm.
So if he wins the title on Sunday, he's not dropping it at WrestleMania. It's not happening.
Mm. I mean we'll see. We'll have to see how everything
got
works.
40 more days. Well, what, 39 now?
Till WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Well, you want to move over to SmackDown? Anything else on Raw you want to talk about? We already talked about the main event.
I'm good on the...
Cool. SmackDown, how the fuck did that show open? Daniel Bryan came out
with
Naomi.
The Bayley segment.
No, Bayley, Naomi, you mean.
Well, I called it Bayley Part 2 because it was the same exact fucking thing.
Yeah, they did. I didn't take any notes on SmackDown, but it was a pretty simple show. Daniel Bryan came out, and we talked about this already, too. Then Naomi had to relinquish the title. Then they did title match Alexa versus Becky Lynch
for the vacant
right
woman's
away.
Title.
Which really wasn't that.
They've had better matches.
Yeah, they've had a lot better matches. It was all right.
The
crowd didn't give a fuck either. Like, and when Alexa won the belt again, they barely booed, barely cheered. Crowd did not give a fuck.
Yeah, they weren't happy. Like,
I just think you're fucking there.
It was a good match.
Yeah,
but they've already seen it. The past 6 months.
Yeah,
until Mickey James showed up.
I feel
much,
like
right?
You would have got a better reaction out of it doing it the following week too. Since you just had the Bayley title switch the night before, had the Bayley angle with Stephanie the night before, so on and so forth. But yeah, so it was nothing really extreme. And then that's when Natalya cut the promo about silicone What the fuck was it? I already forget.
Well, you had Dean Ambrose and all that, and then
what did she say?
With everything that's going on now, I know that I stated it before that I thought they were going to have a fatal four-way match for the women's championship.
Yeah, on SmackDown.
Yeah, for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
We might end up seeing either a six-pack challenge or just no title, six-person tag match.
Yeah, multi-woman match.
With Mickie James, Alexa Bliss, and Natalya taking on Naomi, Becky Lynch, and Nikki Bella.
Mm. Well, Nikki Bella, they're really heating up for, we'll talk about it here in a little bit, but they're really heating up. Nikki and John and Maurice and Miz.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that
they're
too.
They're on fire for that. Like,
maybe we will see the fatal four way match.
But yeah, Natalya cut that promo. What'd you say about Dean Ambrose? He miraculously looked fine after going through an electrical fire last week.
You
but
had, Dean, Kalisto, and the Miz all cut their promos leading into the 10-man.
You're sitting way too far back. I can't hear a word you're saying on the mic.
I said Dean, Kalisto, and The Miz all cut promos, and then you were talking about...
Didn't Apollo Crews cut a promo, too?
Yeah, they had all of them
Dean,
cut.
Kalisto, and Crews.
They had them all cut promos.
I mean,
throughout.
Apollo Crews is just like, you know, I'm happy to be here. I'm going to win the Battle Royal.
He should
just cut a Kevin Hart comedy special, because that's who the fuck he looks like. Just say something like Kevin Hart, or just, you know, do something.
Change his name. Apollo Hart.
Dean...
Kevin Crews...
You'll need to clean that out. I can see a bunch of ashes in it. The Natalya promo wasn't too bad backstage, but it was kind of weird the way she was like, Nikki Bella's just a Natalya ripoff. I was like, how?
Yeah, that's my first thing.
She doesn't do any of her moves. Doesn't really look like.
And then I started
like,
thinking like, oh yeah, she got plastic surgery, so I can see it. Like she did rip her off. Like she came in
honestly,
natural.
I know that. You know they want you know they're plastering or they're trying
yes they
trying
do
to make it so that
faces.
Well they're trying to make it so that you know like Nikki Bella and Natalya are fighting over who's the face of the women's division.
Yeah,
but I feel that Brie Bella is a better wrestler than Nikki.
You think that?
Yes.
Oh God, I don't know what matches you've been watching.
I've watched them
years.
Both, and I'm impressed.
It's
with
not
Nikki nowadays.
It's not that Nikki's bad.
I think
it's
you're crazy.
You can,
you're crazy.
Well, we can get to my Nikki.
Brie Bella matches have been some of the worst things I've ever seen
go
in my
back
life.
Go back and watch, like, after her and Daniel Bryan got together and Nikki and Cena got together, and they both started, like, really training, who they were training with shines through in their matches.
Oh, I mean,
but
Brie does some yes kicks, but her matches
see,
are awful. You're never going to convince me on this that Brie is better than Nikki.
I never watched a good match with any Bella wrestling until recently.
Yeah, Bella's definitely, like, I mean, Nikki's definitely
the
stepped
match
up a
they
lot
had
th- recently,
that night,
but
SmackDown match was. I was like, wow.
Man, yeah, no. Brie's matches are garbage. But her fucking WrestleMania 8-woman shit. She had,
thank God I didn't go through any of the...
Yeah, Brie's...
Is it anything like TNA wrestling?
What's up?
Is it better than TNA wrestling?
TNA women's wrestling used to... Well, it's not anymore,
we're talking about
but it used
now.
To be head and shoulders above WWE.
Oh, for sure.
But...
They,
Speaking of which, how long do you think it's going to be before WWE signs Velvet Sky?
I don't know if
considering that she's dating Bubba Ray Dudley.
Mm-hmm. Are Dudley still... I know Devon's working as a road agent, but he's still got Bubba under contract, or is he off contract now?
He's still, as far as I know, he's still technically under contract. I just don't know what he's doing.
Yes, they retired
him. I think
he's
training,
you know,
I think he's
ago.
Training people. Mm. I think he's...
Yeah, I don't... I don't know if I... we'll ever see them grabbing somebody like a Velvet Sky or...
I mean, she's been on WWE television before. She was in the first ever Diva Search.
Yeah.
Under her shoot name. But...
I think it's just
she's
that
she's incredibly talented.
And
like, I feel like they're missing the
definitely.
Boat.
Definitely. She's one of the
this.
Best they've had. But she's also... how do I say this nicely? Long in the tooth, I guess I would say. She's, what, 12, 13-year veteran now?
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
You know, you just don't have
what
much
do
longevity
about, well,
out
look
of
at
hiring
Mickey James.
Her. You know?
Yeah, Mickey James.
Yeah, but Mickey has WWE history and a name and an experience, and you know what I, like, she's
right
once again shitting on talent.
She's somebody they'll want to put in the Hall of Fame in 10 years, Mickey, you know,
only WWE can discriminate wrestling talent.
I feel like Velvet would, I mean, not, it would be an amazing hire for them, and it would be a plus to their locker room, definitely. I'm not saying
bring
that.
Her
I
to
just,
NXT Asuka,
I just don't
up.
Know
that'd
if,
be a smart thing to do, yeah, what I've been always saying, and NXT, I don't think it would happen.
NXT would be good. But yeah, I don't know if I would ever see them putting that type of investment in a main roster debut.
The reason why I really don't talk about TNA that often.
Why it's worth the tuna fish sandwich.
And
2 for $5. If
has Velvet Sky even been with them for a while? No, I know she left like a year ago.
No,
but
I know that Angelina Love is back.
I was like, but yeah, those people go in and out so often because they're all
TNA. It's a loose company,
and a lot of them
it's easy to go in and out
per basis. Yeah. Yeah, I got but your when, joke. Yeah, but in and out, loose. Yeah.
So I wanted to take the opportunity to talk about somebody who was there when at least one aspect of TNA stood out from everything else and was actually better
to
than
that point,
WWE.
To that point, I would see them bringing back a Gail Kim
before
they'd hire a
even Lita
guy or. But yeah, because they could bring in Gail Kim for one last good run because she's got history, been there multiple times.
If they could get Lita to wrestle a match, they would bring her back in a heartbeat. But I don't think that she'll wrestle again, and that's why they're like, look, if you're not gonna do this.
So what do you think of what did we have? What did we have?
Breezango and American Alpha was the first.
That was fucking. Match. That was what the Steiners versus the Jobbers. You mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing cool about it was the Usos
the Steiner
at the
brothers
end.
Versus Too Hot.
I swear they even
too too cool.
No, too hot.
Too hot
when they were Jobbers.
Ah, yeah.
What the hell is Mauro even like called out like they're doing the Steiner brothers clear out the ring spot or whatever the fuck he put it.
Yeah,
but
they referenced the Steiners a couple of times. They even did the fucking top shoulder bulldog.
The best part about this shit though was after the match
with the Usos.
And you mean Ice T? That wasn't Ice T.
Yeah, you thought the same thing.
I thought that was the new Body Count
the
music
new body
video.
Count.
Yeah, when I started, I was like, "Damn, this new Body Count music video is hard." And I was like, "Oh shit, that's the Usos."
that's funny.
No, it was kind of funny where he's like, they're like saying what the American Alpha is going to do later, and he's like, "You're going to go back to the hotel," and Jay was like, "Probably a 2-star one," and I just thought that was funny, like the way like Jimmy would say something, and then Jay was commenting on it, like why. By his dog, and he's like, "You gonna go to your hotel later? Yeah, probably a 2-star one."
I'm just glad they didn't get in the ring and wrestle because they were so blown up by that promo they cut that it reminded me a couple months ago when they were in back in the locker room on SmackDown, I believe it was, and I think it, Rhino and Slater were the tag team champs at the time, and they're in the back drinking water and. Jey Uso's just eyeballing the fucking water like, I'm so blown up, give me some water. Like, it took me right back to that moment, like, man, I need some water, because he was so fucking blown up. Just cutting the promo, I was like, damn, dude, you haven't even wrestled.
I didn't think this was bad at all.
No,
and now,
their promo was great.
Now we're finally getting the American Alpha Uso
run that
we've wanted for a while.
They're not NWA? What would they be?
And Ice-T?
Yeah, they're not Body Count. What would... Like they need a cool new name instead of the Usos.
Ruthless Records.
They don't want to get sued.
That's funny. But, Samoan Thugs and Harmony.
Well, they could go along. You know how they like to steal shit, so possibly.
Yeah,
but they
funny.
Should definitely change the Usos as, like, give them a new like whole. Since
they did.
Heel.
They already did. They gave them a whole new gimmick when they turned heel. They used to come out all dressed in Samoan garb.
I'm saying like they should
and said Usamu and shit like
no
that.
No longer
they
the Usos, they're like a new.
Now
whole,
they're Ice-T.
Well, they
we
can't
say
be Body Count.
Yeah, you say oh.
Yeah, but their Yahoo! Promo was good.
So what'd you think of the Nikki Bella and Natalya False Count Anywhere match?
I was actually excited at the end, except for one part, which when I seen it, I was like, "Thank you, cameraman."
For which one? When he got really close to him, and she was like, "You ready to go over the railing?"
Did you see all that before that when she does? She's on the little stage hop and she kicks, does their little roundhouse kick, and they so close that Natalia's like, "Good job, Nikki," and she's then, like, "Okay," picks her up. She's like, "All right, that's like, our yeah, over the like, railing, right?" And Natalia's
she
like,
"She's like, you ready to go over the railing now?" And fucking, and then they just go running and throw right over the railing.
I was like, it was and like, the commentators went dead silent. Yeah, for that, the so commentators. Chili's
covered it. The camera, like, this is Nikki Bella's face. The camera's literally this far from her, and then Nikki Bella's just like, "You ready to go over the railing now?" Okay, and just starts walking and throws her over the railing.
I'm pretty sure that's part of the reason that they have commentary so that you can't hear
we heard
talking to each other.
It was so perfect.
I usually don't catch this stuff. Every once in a while I hear the referee say kick or something like that, but I usually don't catch the talking that much. Like you see them talking, but I don't really hear it. But I'll watch Botchamania and they'll they pinpoint it and say it on the screen subtitled, and then you go, "God damn, I didn't realize they're talking that much, but holy shit, this was so like she noticeable. Didn't even bother to like try and like
dude I
she
watched...
didn't bother trying like grab her by the head and whisper it in the ear or nothing. She just fucking was literally like, "Over the railing now, okay." Boom.
dude the whole roundhouse kick part had me dying because she's just laying there in the open looking at the crowd, and the camera's so close to her face, and she's like, "Good job, Nikki. Like, you did that roundhouse. We did that move perfect, solid. You didn't break my neck."
They did have a good match, I really enjoyed it.
Dude, they were all... They used the arena perfectly.
That's what I was about to say. It reminded me of 1999, 2000 fucking Triple H Rock main event where they would use that whole arena.
My
like
legit
that.
Words after this was, "Fuck yes, really entertaining." Like, wow.
Not
like,
bad.
I did not expect this between those two. Like, I expected the spear, a spot on the fucking ramp, back in the ring, maybe over the barricade, back in, boom. They went everywhere, dude.
The match ended up ending with Maurice running out and hitting Nikki with a metal pipe.
Who got screwed again for second week in a row, dude.
Yeah, we didn't see that. In the back, Natalya threw Nikki into Maurice, and it hits. It was funny. I was like, "Oh, they just hit Maurice." And Bobby was like, "Isn't Maurice a guy's name?" I was like, "Not Maurice." Maurice.
Maurice.
He's like, "Potato, potato." I was like, "Whatever, dude." But anyway, yeah, so they knocked over Maurice, and then later in the match, that's how it ended, was Maurice came out with a metal pipe, and like it looked gimmicky, and then she's hitting her with it, and then when when Miz ends up coming out and grabbing Maurice and dragging her out, and she dropped that metal pipe, that shit hit the rampway like, ping, 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 ping. I was like, damn. I was like, that shit was legit. They didn't use a fucking fake thing at all. Like, they literally grabbed a little metal piece from probably the curtain that they knocked over and was like, "Here, go.
Run with it, bitch."
And yeah,
she's already dumped powder on you.
If it clangs like that, the pipe was probably aluminum.
Yeah,
it's probably aluminum. And hollowed
out. Ping, 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 ping. I was like damn.
It's a lead pipe. Lead pipe. Lead doesn't sound like that.
But
I was shocked that they put Natalya through the mirror, honestly, in the back right before that. I was like, what?
Yeah, they smashed that shit. The mirror spot?
Did not expect that.
Alabama slam on the table.
Dude, I was like, what the fuck? Table did not break?
Nah, yeah, those tables are a lot sturdier now than they used to be.
Yeah, obviously, we learned that a couple weeks ago with AJ Styles and Cena, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had to do the... He did the
or
first...
Or was it Bray Wyatt?
He tried... I can't remember. It was AJ Styles and Bray Wyatt.
Was it Bray Wyatt?
And he had to put him... He had to do a leg
during
drop.
During the triple threat
The first movie went for it and put him through it.
Yeah.
So he went climb back up and did a leg drop. But, yeah, so I thought it was all good, and they set it up for Natalya to be done, and Maurice and
Nikki picking up with the Miz.
Maurice and Nikki, because later on in the night, as we'll talk about in the Battle Royal, after Miz was eliminated, he comes running back in and dumps Cena out.
As we said, we'd talk about it later, and boom, right into it.
Well, what else was there anything in between Nikki and Natalya before the fucking thing? There was a couple promos. Luke Harper cut
back
a promo.
To the promos, because all 10 of them.
Mojo Rawley cut a really whispery promo. Like, and I feel like he fucked up because he cuts this Whisper promo, and then without any, like, without a commercial or any other segment, they go right to Luke Harper's Whisper promo. And I was like, dude, I'm this 5 minutes of people whispering to me right now. Like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, Mojo's, like, doing the whole, like, I'm Mojo. Like, or whatever the fuck he was saying. But, and then
he wasn't getting hyped. He was on downers.
Yeah, he was like whispering his promo, like doing the, was he on downers? Doing the Jake the Snake, you know, like, when I talk like this, you so really he's on pay cocaine. Attention, you know, and then, no, not the cocaine Jake the Snake, right. But just the promo joke. Jake the Snake. Right. But then they went right to Luke Harper's where he's like, I followed Bray Wyatt. And I was like, oh, God, dude, just whispers after everybody's whispering to me today. You know, I mean, I guess it's better
Baron
than shouting,
Corbin
but
whisper his promo earlier too.
I don't remember.
The,
I didn't listen to it.
The promos of whispers, because they grouped them in packages. If you noticed that, like three or four of them did promos throughout the night, back to back to back.
Yeah,
I kind of was like, what the fuck? This
so
stupid.
You get through all 10 people. Yeah, what'd you like, think about the Battle Royal?
I was pleased with it.
Pretty good. It made
a lot
me.
Of cool spots.
I was about to say it made me kind of forget it was a battle royal and felt more just like a 10-man free for all because
exactly.
They actually like it wasn't just all like people up against the ropes going.
I'm throwing you out. I'm throwing you out. They all had a fair amount of time in the ring before one was eliminated.
Yeah, no, they did. They did a couple cool spots. I'm trying to think of
dude,
who.
They went to a commercial before
somebody hit Dean Ambrose, so he's. In the middle of his miraculous clothesline as Baron Corbin fucking takes out... I mean, it might have been The Miz or AJ. I don't really remember. But Baron Corbin takes him out, and then as he takes them out with a clothesline, he steps right into Dean Ambrose's miraculous clothesline.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm so sick of seeing that fucking, like, miraculously off the rope
until
spot.
You do it in 2K17, and you're like, dude, that is so cool.
Is I haven't done it yet. I
no,
don't ever play
because
as Dean
I
Ambrose.
Hate Dean Ambrose. I put them through tables and barricades.
But yeah, they
you cut his forehead open with a reciprocal saw. Mm.
If I could, I would.
The
I beat him with kendo sticks to his body part turned purple.
Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite kayfabe news articles. Is like the Dean Ambrose miraculously launches himself off the ropes into a clothesline for the fucking 9,332 time or whatever the fuck.
And I'm sure that number is very accurate.
Yeah, it's very funny. They but yeah, not a bad. Whole little deal. We talked about the Miz thing. And then the ending came down to AJ and
Luke Harper. Yeah.
And then even though they fucked this all up, I did like the way that these two literally struggled for... That was a good 10 minutes. Not struggling as in they were having a hard time, but struggling as in... That was, like,
well,
what they were working
Luke
on.
Luke Harper might have been struggling. You see how sweaty he was?
I mean, like...
Hey, wrestling in jeans is hard.
They really...
Under those bright lights, I can only imagine.
They really played up the, like, real struggle of trying to get a guy out of the ring or
with
to the floor.
With those two?
Yeah, rather than doing the real simple, like, oh, we're leaning over it type
it
shit.
It seemed real easy with everyone else until it got down to those two.
These two actually did a good job of, like, well, I'm actually fucking fighting you for it, for position, rather than I'm going to lean you on the ropes, and now you lean me on the ropes. And, you know, they had fun. They did fuck up the ending where Luke Harper catches, kind of drags him over the fucking top rope to the. They're standing on each side of the corner, and on the apron, and he drags him over and then suplexes him to the floor, and they were both supposed to fall back to the floor first. But it was like plain as day on camera. AJ hitting the ground first,
because he didn't get him that high up in the air.
They could at least had the camera for that cut on the other side, you know what I mean? But they didn't. They probably didn't expect them to not hit the same time.
Maybe they didn't want to get the "Are you ready for the suplex?"
Good job. Are you ready for the suplex? Good job. You ready to go over the railing?
I'm going to go home and watch that again.
They had all the referees fucking doing the whole... That was pretty funny. Four referees. Not one of them's watching video footage.
They're arguing amongst themselves.
Like, we don't have instant replay for in the
with
WWE.
With this huge-ass Titantron right fucking here.
Like, we have instant replay. Like, I don't know if instant replay has been enacted in WWE rules yet.
They do have a replay, so they could have just watched the replay.
They've used it before.
Yeah, to overturn Royal something.
Rumble 2000.
Yeah.
To overturn a... They've
used it in matches on Raw.
What about it? Didn't they do something with the replay for the Brock Lesnar...
The JVC Kaboom Box, Smack of the Night.
with the headbangers and
New Age Outlaws. Brock Lesnar and Undertaker with that tap out fucking thing.
I wanted one of those. WWE made me want one of those Kaboom Boxes so bad.
I want
one now just to hit Sean with it. Karate Fighters, man, you'll lose to say to Sonny, everyone did. In the tournament,
but
poor Lawler could never win. Sonny always kicked his ass.
But then Daniel Bryan comes out. He hears from each one of the referees, and then he goes, "It's a draw." Like, and all the referees are like, "Yep,
sounds good.
That's what we decided. Yep, draw." I was like, "This is fucking so stupid." And then,
especially like you said,
it puts a little bit more emphasis on the main event for next week, which will be Luke Harper versus AJ Styles one on one.
Yeah, I mean,
which is going to be a good match because you're talking about two, like Luke Harper, and he doesn't get enough credit, but like a lot of people that I know, you know, a lot of my wrestling buddies, we all agree that Luke Harper's really fucking good.
Yeah, he has been for a while too.
And you're going to put him in the ring in the main event of SmackDown with AJ Styles, which is hands down one of the absolute best performers in the world today. That match is going to be fantastic.
So
SmackDown's going to be better than Raw.
How
next
do you
next week?
Do you see them?
It'll be better
this week.
I was like, yeah, it's for the most part. I think SmackDown's always better. But anyway, the question I was going to pose is, what do you guys think they're going to do with Randy? If they're going to
triple threat match,
get him back inserted into this, or if he's actually giving up this fucking thing and this is how they're going to do it and decide it.
I think that it's going to be one of those things where it'll be a, like, and I pointed it out when we were just watching it a little bit ago, and they did the whole thing.
Yeah, after Luke the match was over, the
Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton appeared on the screen. Bray Wyatt's looking dead ahead, and then Randy Orton's like staring at him, and then he looks down at the belt, and then he
looks
back up.
Very
at him.
Subtle eye.
It's the desire, the desire to be WWE champion is ultimately probably what they'll use to like snap him out of it. He's gonna be like, wait, why am I doing this? I could be WWE champion right now.
And then he gets inserted into the match
right back
some way, right. Somehow
after he gave up his spot.
I'm not saying that he goes over, but he'll be in the match.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they're gonna do it, but I don't see any way you don't do either, like you're saying, the three of them, Luke,
Randy
and Bray, or just doing Randy Bray, you know, or I don't see them not doing
so when
that
Eric
somehow.
Rowan shows up, who does he screw over?
Are they going to bring Eric Rowan back?
I don't know. Is he still locked in Cleveland?
I think he's good to go. He was injured. He had like a knee injury, and I believe
that's why he got locked in
Cleveland. I heard he's good to go, but I'm not positive. And I haven't heard anything about when they're planning to bring him back or anything.
They're probably repackaging him.
I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, because they did do a very... It's something I didn't think they were going to be able to do, but they did do a very good job of Braun Strowman being so detached from the Wyatt family now that you really don't even remember that he was
a Wyatt guy.
Braun Strowman. He debuted as a Wyatt family member.
When was this?
A year and a
half
ago.
I'm just trying to make a point. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how good they've done with him.
Yeah. So we got Mania in fucking a month away, April 2nd. A big
ordeal.
Rumor is that they're going to gear up for AJ versus Shane McMahon. And that's why AJ
I do not want to see that.
That's why AJ's not really in a hot program. He's kind of, you know what I mean? Like, the Wyatt family is, even though AJ's in the main event and a part of this, the Wyatt family is the main storyline through this, you know?
Yeah.
Luke, Randy, Bray. So
and yeah, AJ, we'll find out after Fastlane. Yeah. Like after this pay-per-view, then it's, you know,
they're going to be heating up then for the, for 3 weeks basically into the into Mania. And would you be excited to see AJ versus fucking Shane McMahon after Shane McMahon's past two kind of awful matches?
Did you just see the look I gave you?
We had a 35-minute Shane McMahon match at Mania this past year that was 34 minutes of garbage and 1 minute of a really awesome jump.
Spot.
You know what I mean?
It's a 50-50 toss-up because now he's been back in the WWE for over a year now.
Yeah.
And he's had time to, you know, he's probably getting in the ring with the guys, training. When you don't see him on SmackDown, he's probably down at the Performance Center doing something. You know, so it could be better. He used to actually be really good. So, and he could be again because he looks like he's in better shape than he was back then.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I was watching. Oh fuck! What was it? I was watching 2009.
When I saw him come back, when I saw him come back, I went, "Holy shit! What steroids is he taking?"
I was just the other day.
Same stuff his dad was taking.
I was watching a match from 2009. It was him and Randy. I want to say it was Randy Orton and Shane McMahon. And Shane McMahon, it looked like two of the Shane McMahon we see today. Like, he was so fat. Like, you know,
yeah, he basically looked like you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was like two of me with black hair.
But you know, like, he came back and like his like he came back with no neck. Where did the neck go?
He kind of got the upper Lesnar going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have to see how this shakes out. I'm excited for Mania.
He still has no chin though. Like, I don't know if you noticed that. He's got his dad's chin. It's like just like this little point. Like, at the bottom,
he has an Ellsworth.
It's not quite an Ellsworth.
It's a McMahon.
Yeah,
you got.
He's got the Vince.
You got a match of the week this week, Derek?
No, I did the one the last time.
No, you didn't. What was last week's match of the week then?
No one did one last week. I didn't know.
Motherfucker!
I thought we did a match of the week last week.
Yeah, me too. I think it was something from one of the shows we watched. The main event probably event. A triple threat or something crazy like that.
Oh yeah, it was the triple threat match. The Styles. Cena and Bray.
Yeah. So, you want to take match of the week this week, Spike? You got something in your head? We need to start playing and keeping track of whose match it was, so that when it comes to this point, we'll know.
We'll know from this point on. Next week, well, like, I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. We'll keep a fucking a mode of who's who.
I just watched something on the network the other day, and I can't remember what it was.
How about I'll pick one. Let's do CW Anderson versus Tommy Dreamer at Guilty as Charged 2001.
2001?
Yeah, very last ECW pay-per-view before the reboot, January 2001.
I have to go back and watch it.
That's not a good match,
Sean. CM Punk. CW Anderson and Tommy Dreamer. It's the best match on that card besides Jerry Lynn and
RVD.
RVD. I don't even know if they wrestle on that show. I might be quoting a match that didn't happen.
But maybe we should pick a match that we know for a fact actually happened. But
Jerry Lynn versus RVD at Guilty as Charged 2001.
There you go.
The main event.
That's probably actually worth watching.
Yeah, that was their last match, and that was when Jerry Lynn was at his like maximum peak on size. Because when Jerry Lynn came in, he was pretty lean, but by the end of ECW...
His overall athleticism was just...
Jerry Lynn?
Yeah, amazing, dude. One of the best, and still even up until his like recent retirement over the couple years.
He's still better than some of the guys out there.
Did you hear that we had the conversation about Jerry Lynn and RVD and the chair shots?
Probably.
I just had a conversation about that. Whereas Jerry Lynn used to gauge his chair shots with, like, when he was in a match with RVD, he'd gauge it on how hard RVD hit him. Like, he always made sure that RVD hit him first, and then if he, like, stiffed him, Jerry would just clobber him with the chair.
Yeah, I would want to be the guy who
would want to take the first chair shot.
I feel like we had that conversation when Kip was here.
I am right. I quit match. Tommy Dreamer versus CW Anderson. Guilty as charged, 2001.
And like I said, that's not a good match, Sean.
What about Sandman and Steve Corino?
Not 2001.
ECW, man. I love like thinking of ECW with these rose-colored shades. And then when you hit the network and start rewatching some of these events, you're like, wow, this does not hold up. Like, and at the time, though, yeah, I mean, a lot of it does. But at the time, though, especially
2001 does not.
No, 2000 doesn't even late 99 doesn't really.
Mid 99 is like the last.
But I remember like in 98, July. I remember 98, 99, like my family, because we got all the pay per views when we were kids. We would literally skip like a WCW one some months if ECW was on, because we knew ECW would be better. So why even bother getting the WCW pay-per-view later in the month? We'll get the ECW one, you know, shit like that. But yeah, going back, the television shows are still pretty entertaining, like the hardcore TVs, and they have like they're pretty easy to follow along and get invested in. But yeah, some of those pay-per-view events, so you're watching Simon Diamond and Roadkill for the fucking ninth pay-per-view in a row. You're kind of going, holy shit, what the fuck were they doing on this TV, on this promotion?
Yeah, why does Simon Diamond have to always wrestle Roadkill?
Doesn't Roadkill get to
wrestle anyone else?
What are you going to say, Spike?
Well, you asked me about the indie shows coming up.
Yes.
And I didn't touch on this last week because I didn't want to overshadow like Kip being here and talking about his injury and stuff.
Broken clavicle.
You guys know, and I think that people that listen to our show know that I've had this thing going on with Jesse McCoy for a while, and I've also kind of had a rivalry going on with Thomas Adams for a while.
Yeah.
On last week's show,
remember this time, Sean.
Uh-huh.
The last RAPW event, I teamed with Tough Tina to take on Thomas Adams and his tag team partner, Trevor Sky.
Mm-hmm.
After the match, I was kind of on the receiving end of a beatdown. And to my surprise, Jesse McCoy actually came out and saved me. Mm-hmm. I thought that he was going to come out and kick my ass. So on March 25th in Struthers, we're now going to have a six-man tag team match. It's going to be me, Jesse McCoy, and Tough Tina versus Thomas Adams, Trevor Sky, and their manager, Keith Young.
Mm. So you're tagging up with your enemy here.
Bring a chair.
Yeah, we'll see how it we'll see. We'll see how
you
it
know,
goes.
And like, strange bedfellows, kind of.
Yeah,
you have
kind of.
Common goal. Yeah.
And that's it's going to be a six-man elimination tag team match.
That's better, too. I like elimination because then you don't have to fucking deal with constant.
False finishes.
Well, no, I was gonna say when it's just a normal tag match, especially multi-man, multi-person, it gets repetitive. The constant, just every pinfall being broken up because somebody gets in the ring and breaks it up.
Yeah,
you know. I guess it protects people from all their stuff being kicked out of, or
that's why I always bring
the
chair.
Fuck that works, but
yeah,
but. It gets better when you have an elimination match because then you can kind of breathe a little bit and work that angle of that chess game of who, you know,
right,
who goes down and who works, who gets saved type thing. But yeah, so you said March 25th, that's RAPW in Struthers.
Yeah.
What are they on Facebook? Or just RAPW Wrestling, or is it
Real Action Pro Wrestling?
Real Action Pro Wrestling on Facebook. So yeah, check that out. And then you got I can't remember the date on the next FCWF event. April 13th.
Before you ask, no, I haven't cut the promo for the Battle Royal yet.
They do have you on the flyer as being in the Battle Royal, though.
Yeah, I know.
So you got booked. You're better than what's that guy, Dennis Stamp? You are no Dennis Stamp, Mark St. James. You did get booked on this. I remember one time AIW brought in Dennis Stamp. I was like, they brought in Dennis Stamp, and my friend Brandon was like, yeah, you got booked. And I just, like, I lost it. Like, beyond the mat, and it's so fucking funny. All right, let's get the hell out of here. We've been going too long. Enzigarium, we're motherfucking out, homie.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.